Welcome to the Energy Stoners Cafe. My name is Toni Quest, and I'm really happy that you're here. I like to interview the most interesting people I can find on the planet. So grab a cup of coffee, sit down, relax, and listen. You're going to find that these guests are so intriguing, you'll wonder why you didn't know about them before. Thank you for coming to the Energy Stoners Cafe. And I always appreciate it when you stop in and listen and actually now see the wonderful guests that I kind of find on the planet. And as you know, I'm always looking for the most interesting people. Well, today I have great guests. They're from the Dallas-Fort Worth area of Texas, and they actually run a prison ministry, something that is for people that are incarcerated, and they run a ministry. It's called JTC on the move, JTC on the move. And I'm going to let them say exactly what it is, but I'm really intrigued by them. I met them through LinkedIn.com, you know, populations that are underserved. And believe it or not, the prison population is underserved. I think that many people have preconceived notions about people that are in prison. And I think that there are some human rights that they deserve. And I believe that I know for a fact there are people on the planet that are doing things to actually help with the particular issues that they deal with. Now, this particular ministry is run by Sherry Wilson and Eric Wilson. And the ministry is called JTC on the Move. And Eric in particular has been very involved in writing letters to people who are incarcerated. And I want him to talk to us more about that because it is something that is really very, very beneficial to someone that's behind bars and really not engaged with society and often not engaged with anyone. So welcome to the show. Thanks you guys for coming. I really appreciate having you here. And then I tripped over the name of the organization, so I'm going to let you say it the way it's supposed to be said.
Okay, let me say this. The name of the organization is a JTC Exchange. Okay, so Exchange, where the move comes in, because we say we're always on the move. So that's why the website is jtconthemove.org. So it's symbolic of the Holy Spirit on the move. So that's kind of how we phrase it. So whichever one you feel comfortable with, that's fine. We can, come in and then, clarify whatever case.
Okay, sounds good. So how did you get involved with this? I mean, the two of you seem like you're so in sync with each other. And it's obvious by just looking at you two sitting together that you're very much in sync with each other, very simpatico, as I like to say. And how did you get involved with this? And how did you get involved with this particular ministry together? How did that happen?
Well, we have to go back to about,
11
years ago. Well, actually 14 years ago, when we first came to the Dallas-Fort Worth area, at my place of employment, there were multiple suicides taking place. Most were relationship-oriented. People were in relationships, and I guess relationships wasn't going the way they wanted. So after like the sixth suicide, I was like, we got to do something about this. So I started to gather men together just so we can have a conversation, which is what JTC stands for, join a conversation, and to, give them a place to release, like you do with the art, give them a place to release the frustrations in a non-threatening, laid-back environment. And the whole goal for me was, as we addressed issues, to then get them focused on helping somebody else. Because I just believe, the longer you look at something, the bigger it becomes. So if we can get their focus off of their situation and allow them to focus on helping somebody else, that would shift their focus. At the same time, give them some kind of self-esteem that even though they may feel like they're failing in one area, they'll actually be winning in another area, and that'll kind of balance the two until, they get their heads right to see what's their next move.
It sounds like it's like a ministry that deals in, like, I guess, a spiritual sort of counseling. And also, you actually embarked upon going a step further in your letter writing campaign. I don't know if it's a campaign, but you started writing letters. And I know that I initially was speaking to Sherry about the letters, and she said, oh, Eric's like written like 1,000 letters and you do this single-handedly. How do you feel about that, Sherry? He's writing all these letters to prisoners every day, I imagine.
Exactly. Well, he handwrites them. My first thought is carpal tunnel. That's my first thought.
Okay.
Oh, because he hand writes every single letter. Mm-hmm. And what started out as one to two letters, you would think, it caught fire. And next thing you know, we would go to the mailbox, and instead of one letter, it would be five. It's like, oh, wow. And it just continued to go. And so it was no problem. He just continued to handwrite. And at one point I was thinking, you know, maybe he should dictate to me and let me type them, you know, because that's a lot of writing. But then he shared how those kings were really touched for the fact that he took time out to personally handwrite those letters. Yeah. And so it's like, well, typing is out the door, let him continue. So here we are, 800 letters later, he's still writing.
We used to call that writer's cramp. Absolutely. But now we call it carpal tunnel. So how, a writer's cramp, I've had it. I used to write by hand. So I mean, you're writing these letters by hand, and you're counseling, I guess, somehow within the verbiage of the letter. I mean, what kinds of things do they write you about, and how would you respond?
Ooh, they cover everything from family issues or whatever. My main thing, trying to get a hold of their children. I read today. The guy has shared on how, his ex-wife has moved on and, you know, she has a new husband. And so he actually had just called and said that the man wouldn't let him talk to his son.
Ooh.
And so I was just like, yeah, I was like, wow. And so he had just mentioned how he was angry for a few days. Mm-hmm. But then after that, he got back on, as we would call it, his grind. He's on the worship team in there. He preaches in there. He also knows the legal system pretty well. So he's actually campaigning while he's in there trying to get guys released as he talks to them about their cases. And he's just another inmate in there. And so when he said that in the letter, I came back to what he said himself, which was that he got back on his game. And he started focusing on this stuff that he had to do. And I just shared with him. I said, listen, that's your hideaway place. That's your secret place. That's your mind regulator that, like JTC, you have something else to do. And I said, at the appointed time, I said, that's your son. And nothing can change that. And I said, I can't tell you the time frame between when you will eventually connect. However, I do know if you keep taking care of God's stuff, he's going to take care of your stuff and your situation will be rectified. So I haven't got the response yet because that letter just went out in the mail about 2 hours ago. However, usually the feedback is very encouraging. And let me just say this, Tony, like a lot of cases, the fact that somebody will just listen, that cares, it's a big icebreaker. And so when them guys share, they know I care, and so they feel that they can share, and then, you know, God helps me to respond, because sometimes I read something, and I'm like, I don't even know what to even say about this one,
right.
But then eventually, you know, God will give me something, and when it's all said and done, it helps them where they're at, you know, it helps them where they're at.
You know, I can't imagine what it would be like to be in jail, you know, but I can imagine how someone might feel, you know, if they're in a broken marriage and then they find out that their children, this is their children, it's from their loin, and there's someone else raising their kids, I can imagine there might be a lot of emotional problems that come with that. What do you think, Sherry?
I can't imagine, Tony. I just know all kinds of fears and concerns and just, you can't touch it. It's out of your control. You know, because you're not there every moment. So you don't know what's going on in that household.
Right.
And it takes strong faith to give you peace, that knowing that your child is okay. I mean, I can't imagine. I can't imagine.
So you're actually dealing, when you're dealing with like counseling people that are behind bars, I imagine you're dealing with a lot of, there might be some common denominators, but the problems are go beyond what a lot of people that are not incarcerated can imagine. You know, I know if I had, I don't have children, but I would have a problem with that. I, you know, I've been a child. I remember that. And I, mm-hmm. you know, children, I know they kind of idolize their parents no matter where they are. I mean, do you ever deal with the children of the people who are incarcerated? Do you ever speak with them about, you know, what's going on? Do you help them? Because they're on the other side. You're like, you know, you might be able to actually see them if you want. I know that, Sherry, you're a special needs teacher. I would say the child of an inmate has special needs.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. And so we haven't gotten to that side where we're engaging the families. That would be something that I would hope that would come, you know, in the future. Like you said, when somebody's doing time, the whole family is doing time, you know, the wife, the kids, everybody's doing time. And so we haven't crossed that road yet. So our angle is to, as these men who really care about their families, just to try to get them some sound wisdom to hold them over. At the same time, like the guys who are in contact, we really encourage them, you know, they can, if you want to use this term, they can run the house from the prison. As far as their advice, you know, so I try to encourage them that even though they're not present, for the ones who can engage and do have a relationship with their children, or maybe they're still married, to know that, you know, they still have strength and wisdom to pour out to the family, even though their present situation, physically they can't be there. But, you know, it's nothing like the words of a father, you know, giving affirmation to the family or to the children, to encouragement. So that's kind of the angle that we're at right now.
Right. And you both also have a church that you pastor as well. Am I correct when I say that? No? Okay. I guess that's a no. I guess I had that wrong. No, you have that sort of like that sort of pastoral kind of bent to you, you know?
To clarify, JTC was created to not look like the traditional church.
Okay.
So when you say pastors, technically, that's kind of what we are. I'm always hesitant to respond to that because I'm not into titles. I'm into getting the job done. So, you know, when you said that, I mean, technically, that's what it is. But we tried to make it. That's why it's called JTC Exchange. So unless somebody's engaged for a while, they really won't know. But our thing was, you should be able to see God in us before we tell you about him. You know, so it kind of gives it away. If I have on a robe and a cross and all that stuff, and I'm carrying a Bible, it's like, oh yeah, he must be a preacher. My thing is, can you see him without me saying anything? Yeah. And so a lot of times we're able to engage people, whether in the prison or even in the schools. Our hope is that they'll realize that it's something different about them. And then maybe, you know, them inquiring will ask a question, you know, what is it different about you? And then we can let them know, you know, it's the Lord, you know.
So tell me about what you do in the schools. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm just trying to tie it all together, you know.
After we got the men shifting, the men out here that were having issues, that was one of the third places we went. We were doing stuff with men. We were doing stuff with the ladies. We were doing stuff with marriages. And then we was like, okay, we got to get to the kids. So I went over to the school and I just let them know that we were here. We were an organization in the community. You know, if you want us to come help out, pick up trash, I don't know, how can you use us? Well, when I told the vice principal about JTC and what we were doing, she was so blown away that she took me to her office, called the teacher and said, listen, I think we got a mentor for your class. So I'm like, okay. And long story short, the next Tuesday, I was in class mentoring in the high school. And it's 20 students, it's a character development program. And I have 10th, 11th, and 12th graders all in one class. And we have a lesson plan and everything from goals to dreams to, you know, how to get a job to, you know, how to apply for scholarships, all of that stuff. And we've been in there 9 years now. This year completes 9 years. And it's amazing. It's not too different from the prison. The students, my particular class, they could not keep a consistent mentor, from what I hear. I don't know if the adult couldn't keep the schedule or if the kids was running them off. I don't know what happened, but they couldn't keep nobody consistent. So when I came on the scene, the first question the kids had was like, are you going to come back? And I told them that I'm here because I want to be here. I told them I live in the community. I have a wife and children. I have a wife and kids, and I'm coming back. So each time, 2 weeks, I would come. That was the icebreaker. Okay, he came back. So at the end of the year, I said, did I keep my word? And they said, yes, you did. And so I haven't been asked that since. So here we are 9 years later. We done seen 9 years of seniors graduate and was still there. And so that's been another joy to pour into the students. And like that, I was told that don't go into the schools. Those kids don't care. Well, when they find out that we care, that's when we can really gain some ground and impact some lives. Yeah.
So how can someone from outside of JTC Exchange actually engage with you somehow? Because I think the letter writing that you're doing is really phenomenal. I imagine you could, they're pen pals. It's not like the kind of pen pal that you had when you were a kid and you're writing to some kid in Pakistan, you know, it's a different kind of a pen pal. You actually, people could actually write to prisoners and it changes their day. I find it in something that I don't know if it was Sherry or you that told me, or maybe both of you, that when people get your letters, Eric, they read it and then they kind of pass it around the cell block and they share your letter as if it was their own. And each person reads it as if it was a letter written to them. That's the thing that touched my heart. And that's what made me decide I had to interview you guys on the show. Tell me about how that, what that is. And it's just, I don't know what to say about that.
From what he has shared with me is that, the information that is in those letters is so valuable. And so I just believe that when the guy, when the king reads that letter, he is so touched. And not everyone gets a letter in prison. Prison can be a very lonely place for some people. They may never, like we had spoke about sometimes that they feel that they're thrown away. Yeah. And so when someone gets a letter, they were touched so much, they want to share it with their person on their blog or in their room, and just to give them hope, just to give them inspiration, to let them know, hey, you know what? Somebody cares. We're not in here by ourselves. The world has not forgotten about us. And so they share that letter and it gives that person hope. And then what happens is that person's like, you know, I want to write to that guy. And so that's how it started just spreading. And it's like, is it all right? And it's like, sure, I'm sure he wouldn't mind. And I did have a conversation with you last. I said, sometimes we'll receive a letter from someone who we haven't met yet. And then because it was one of those letters that was passed on. And so when we go back into the prison, you know, for whatever reason to speak, that's a time when you can actually meet the person that you've been writing to.
Oh, you put a face to it. That's always a good thing. So how often do you go into the prison to speak?
We were going almost once a month. So the schedule varies when we go. So right now we were scheduled, I believe, for June, but that's still kind of up in the air with the COVID stuff going on, with them opening everything back up. And, you know, the guys are talking about how they miss us. So, you know, we're just waiting. We had dates in July. So everything is pretty much on hold. But just to add to what she said, Tony, the fulfillment, knowing that these letters, you know, these handwritten letters in 2020 would mean so much, it's just mind-blowing. The fact that a guy would share a letter with somebody else, you know, it leaves me speechless. When I'm reading it, you know, and I'm hearing about it, it just leaves me speechless at the impact that has taken place. And we did a calculation. This pretty much, most of this started in one prison. And then as guys got moved to different prisons, they continued to write. And so, they continued to write because I'll see an address and they'll let me know, hey, King E, we're on the move. I'm at this prison now. This prison has this program or whatever the case is. And I did a calculation and we've touched that I know of. I know it's more, but I did a calculation and we've touched more than 34 prisons in the state of Texas.
That's amazing. Just in one state, you know, and I know that you're probably famous. You're definitely famous among those particular people.
Yeah. They are really appreciative. They are really respectful. They're at a place in their life where they really take seriously what really matters. And what really matters is people and respect. So, and their appreciation is so much better than people out here. It's amazing. Their appreciation for life, their appreciation for your time, the value that they make you feel in there, you can forget that you're in prison with the appreciation that they show us over the years for me and my family.
Do you ever work with them when they get into, some people get out of prison. So then there's a whole reentry process. I imagine the fact that you've been engaging with them while they're in there, I can't imagine that it didn't help. Maybe perhaps one would want to think, and somebody would probably tell me I'm being naive, that it would help them to rehabilitate themselves to the point where when it's time for them to be released, that they're ready for that freedom. I guess a lot of people would be happy to sort of engage with you outside of, from behind the bars. There you are in the flesh, you know? So what happens? Yeah. Have you ever engaged with people when they get out and sort of stuck with them? Yeah. Because I think, it's the hardest part is, I always say it's always, you can always do the thing, but it's really hard to maintain the thing.
Yes.
That's just the way I look at life.
Yeah. One of our first things I always told them, first off, I let them know they're a part of JTC when they're in there because they want to feel like they belong to something. That's why kids get involved in gangs. They want to feel like they belong. Mm-hmm. So I let them know, listen, you're already a part. You're praying for us. You're encouraging me. You're already a part. There's no paperwork needed. And they let me know most times when they're getting out. Mm-hmm. And the first thing I do is I follow up with them. What city and where you at? And then I make arrangements. And like one guy had got out. A few guys have gotten out. And I was the first one to show up before their family.
Wow.
And I'm
really
talking
something.
About, I've taken flights to Lubbock, Texas, which is about, it's an hour flight, driving is 5 hours. And another guy was in El Paso, which is a 9-hour drive, but I flew out there. Another guy was in another part of Texas. So all of these places, most of them are not in our area. But once I find out where they're at and I can coordinate my schedule, whether I'm driving or flying, I meet up with them. And that really touches them because I always tell them, when you get out, give me a call. And so they, we meet up. And on top of that, Tony, I'll shoot a video with them talking about their experience with JTC while they were
I'd love to see that. There. I'd love to see and the then, videos. They might be private.
I will show. And just to let them, to let the world see the impact we're having from their mouth. But then also, I'll shoot a video with them having them give a word of encouragement to the guys who were still locked up behind bars.
Right.
And
that's
the next time I go, I show that video of their friend, their brother who's out free. And then they see that I've already met up with him. And then he'll give them a word of encouragement on the TV screen. And it just really, really turns it into a really family type atmosphere. Yeah.
Wow. It sounds very organic the way you do it. You just kind of go with the flow. That's a beautiful thing. I'm wondering if in the future you might recruit some of the people who have been released to actually start writing letters as well. What do they say? Pay it forward? Took me a long time to understand what that meant. I know what it means now.
Tony, you must have been reading our mail. I got a guy right now. I got a guy right now who's set to be released, and he's already got a list of guys that he's going to start writing when he comes out. So that's going to be the goal now. All the guys who let me know they're coming out, I'm going to require them or ask them if they would at least write one person. This guy has a list of 5 already, but to pay it forward. And I said, who better to write than the guy who was in there, and they would love to hear from that person. So I've already started that. For the guys who are coming out to get them to circle back in. So we already have part of the team coming who's going to be able to write. That's going to be one of the main things that we're working on.
I have to ask this question, because I'm up north and you're down in Texas. And from where I sit, I'm not like a really expert at geography, but you're like by the Mexican border. And I'm wondering if there's a population in the prisons near where you are that you're engaged with that are Spanish speaking. I'm wondering, this is a question.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not saying that you should be writing in Spanish, but maybe there could be someone that could help you with that. Uh-huh.
Yeah, well, that would be good. I haven't had anybody write me in Spanish, but the population is very mixed. But when I'm having services there, there is a group in the back where somebody is translating what I'm saying, you know, for the Spanish guy. So when I'm there, there is a group in the back, and he's translating, and I didn't even know he was doing it. I was like, hey, he's making noise back there. I didn't know. And they was like, he's translating for you. I'm like, oh, okay. I'm like, nobody told me. I'm just keep hearing, every time I say something, I'm hearing somebody talking. I think they're interrupting class. Yeah, I'm like, I mean, come on, guys. I mean, that's enough. Now I come a long way to try to share and give some hope, but somebody keeps interrupting. And so there is a group. So I haven't had nobody write me in Spanish.
This interview could maybe result in you getting someone to help you in that regard, you know?
Yes.
I'm thinking of someone I know that probably my director's thinking of the same person who we interviewed last week. And he's someone that found God and turned his life around completely. It's amazing the transformation that he's been through. But, you know, a lot of people don't really understand, like, the disproportion of people in that are incarcerated, the disproportion with regard to like race, ethnicity, you know. So some people, many of us see it as very, very unfair. I think, thank God for you guys, and you go into the prison and you actually are ministering to people in a spiritual way. I imagine that, you know, I know, and I won't even imagine, I'll say I know that usually that's the only way you're going to come out of anything, is if you make that connection between you and God, or you and your higher self, or you and whoever that is actually larger than yourself. So I'm wondering, you know, where do you see your ministry going at this point? Because it sounds like with the letter writing, it's really starting to explode, you know, in terms of, you know, reach, which is beautiful, but you can't just do it yourselves. You guys need some help.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I see, I told her today, I said, I believe help is on the way. I said, but until help gets here, we got work to do. And so, you know, I gotta eat my own medicine. I gotta bounce it out. I said, you know, we're waiting, but you know, it's like New York City, you know, you better move out the street, you might get hit. So I said, you know, we're waiting on the help and expectation. But in the meantime, I think that I know what's going to happen is that a lot of these guys want to go back in. You know, a lot of them want to go, that are coming out. They really want to go back in, not only want to write, but they want to go back in. So I believe, as well as those who are on the outside that might hear this and may have an interest, that is great. But I also believe that the army that's being raised in there is really going to be able to go back in there when they come out and make some impact. So I know we're going to be around the states. I know it's going to happen. Like I think I've told you, we've been up to Pennsylvania four times to the prisons up there, SCI Cole Township and Cole Township, Pennsylvania, and Greaterford that just closed. And now it's called Phoenix SCI. That was the biggest prison in Pennsylvania. So I see it happening more and more. And because, let me just add this, Tony, when I said JTC is different, we make the service a conversation. So there's a lot of interaction going on. And the guys, they had said it over and over in the letters, JTC is different. There's interaction. Usually in services, you know, they're listening. But they know when I come, I'm coming around with the microphone because I want to know what you have to say, because what you may have to say is the answer for somebody else. So they're really, you know, they call it, it's really a breath of fresh air. And the service now is more intimate. And it feels like a family atmosphere. A lot of the guys will say they'll forget for the time that I'm in there. It's like they say I pull them out of there for the time that they're in it. They forget that they're in prison because of the setting and because of the conversing back and forth. It's really been a game changer. And they shared that with us. And that was my goal, not to be better than anybody else, but just to be different. And so so when the guys go to other prisons, they're saying, in the letter today, he was like, we got to get you down here, man. You need to call the chaplain. We got to get you down here. So, you know, we're going to be strategic, but we know what we have is not just needed, but it's like repetition is different. And that's what's really pulled a lot of these guys into our services, is that it's different. Yeah.
Do you find that people have done complete turnarounds? One thing, you're going to change because you're all of a sudden you're not free anymore and you're in jail. But have you seen, I imagine that you've seen some incredible turnarounds of people that engage. I mean, there's nothing like praying in a group, you know. Church is good, you know, because all the all the people and all that, that yes. beautiful yes. spiritual God, Jesus energy. So have you seen some right. turnarounds right. and witnessed it? Mm-hmm. And I mean, I know that you're mm-hmm. very likely the reason for the turnaround because you're there mm-hmm. and you offer such inspiration. I'm inspired and I'm not even in jail. And I feel inspired by you too. I do. I'm just going to say it, you know? Yay! No, it's very inspirational to see people that are giving of themselves, that generosity of spirit. There's nothing like it. Mm-hmm. I would love yeah. to hear, I don't know, you don't have to talk about it here, but I'd love to hear some of the success stories. There's an educational component too, often when you're in jail, where you have to teach people things that they didn't learn before they got there.
A lot of times they're getting trained, they take classes, they take college courses. So, you know, these guys, the guys who are focused, they call it a gate plan. And your gate plan is precisely, yeah, mm-hmm. a gate, like a gate, open a gate. It's their gate uh-huh. plan. It's the plan mm-hmm. that they're going to exercise when they park the gates. And for the guys who really prepare themselves, they come out and take off. And so, and Sherry can tell you about at least one of the success stories about the wedding that we went to of the one guy.
Yes. This guy he met through the prison ended up, when he got out the prison, he got married. Mm-hmm. However, we received a personal invitation to the ceremony. And so nice. We drove all the way down and we got to the ceremony and we're thinking, you know, we're guests. We know this one particular person that who has invited us to the wedding. When we got down there, it was like we were a celebrity.
Wow.
He had told his whole family. They all knew who we were. And so we were no longer strangers. We went down there thinking we were going to be sitting in the back and, you know, just, you know, observe. No, we were right there in the midst of everything, sitting right up front. Part of the family, part of wow. his family. That's how we were received. And wonderful time. In fact, his mom, while she also had some dealings with the prison while he was in there, she joined our team. And together, oh. his mother and his father mm-hmm. joined our team. And then now together, we were going into prisons together.
Beautiful.
You know, the connection was phenomenal, and it didn't just stop there. So his mm-hmm. sister got on board, her husband got on board, and so it's this whole family affair from this one king at the prison. And when he came out, the relationship continued. We were at the wedding, their grandkids knew us. It was, you know, we could be Aunt Sherry and Uncle Eric now. You know, it was
wow.
just the family affair is amazing.
The last part I'll tell you on that is that when I started going, his dad, the parents pretty much adopted us, his parents that started going in with us. And they didn't live too far from that prison. And he was like, listen, son, when you come to the area, you do not have to get a hotel. We got a place for you. So nice. They told me that repetitively. And I finally took them up on it. Mm-hmm. And so I went from ministering to their son to sleeping in his bed.
Wow.
Because he was moved out and got married. And when I went there, I knew the refrigerator. I had the snacks. I was at home. I was at home. Still to this day, you know, when I go down there, you know, she said their house is my house. Feel at home for my whole family. My whole family hasn't gone yet, but my wife, my kids, whatever, our house is your house. So that's one of the success stories that we've had.
Wow, mi casa y su casa. That's a beautiful thing, you know? It really is, you know, because you made connection on a different level. And there's a level of trust, too. And I think that you had to have faith in them to know that they were going to come out and do the right thing.
Yes, yes, yes.
And there's nothing like someone having faith in you, you know? Mm-hmm. Really, seriously. Sometimes you have to have faith in God, but people forget that God has faith in you. Yes. And the people that are very involved, like the two of you, which is just so, it's just magnificent. Yeah. You know, it's very inspirational.
Yeah.
You know, I can't believe I didn't know you guys before. Why did I just meet you? Well, not really. We've been sort of trying to make this happen for a couple of weeks, for a few weeks, maybe a couple months, really.
Yeah.
You know, I want to share with the audience a little bit before we close, and I'm going to have you guys back again because I see the letter writing as expanding and I want to contribute to it. But I just want to say that the universe works in very mysterious ways, because the reason I'm sitting in Peekskill, New York, and which is a northern suburb of New York City. But the reason I became engaged with you two to talk about this was because of a contact that we both have, a mutual contact that we have in Toronto, Canada, who's working with Indigenous youth and incarceration. So it's kind of like a holistic, godly kind of a thing, and also an educator from Yonkers. So I'm really glad, you know, I really believe in the connectedness between people. I really do. Mm-hmm. We are all connected, you know, and we are under the same spirit, and we are under the same God. And I think if you think that way in terms of trying to do the right thing, that's when you get lucky like me and find people like you guys, you know. And we're going to talk more because the two of you. The two of you.
No, we found each other. We found you and you found us.
Well, okay. We'll leave it like that for the moment. All right. But we have to follow up on this because I'm going to do a little bit more like prying around to see if I can get some help with the letter writing, maybe even in Spanish as well, you know, because I think that there's a population that's incarcerated that can't really even communicate. In English, but I thank you guys for coming on the show.
There's a saying, if you build it, they will come.
Yes.
And so if there's someone who would like to be an interpreter, if we have that already in place, then who knows what doors will open up and we'll be ready.
That's true. And communication is what keeps us all together. That's what I believe in multilingualism. If you just speak a few words of a lot of languages, you know, a lot of words of one, but you just speak another language a little bit, because it's another way to communicate. And I believe that's what keeps us together. And I always believe that communication is the key to peace on earth. I really believe that. As you communicate in the ministry on Sunday, and you communicate by writing these great letters, I'm just like really thrilled. I mean, you know, that people are actually doing this. It gives you hope that things will eventually be okay with all of us. But let's revisit. I want to have you back on. You know, I hate when the show ends, but and I really appreciate you coming on. You guys are just such beautiful people. And I did speak to my pastor in my church about it. I can't wait till she sees this interview. She's going to be thrilled. I'm going to say thank you for coming to the show. Sherry and Eric Wilson of JTC Exchange on the Move. No, a little bit backwards. JTC on the Move Exchange.org. We gotcha. We got you covered. And we're going to have you on again. Please have a really blessed day. Happy anniversary, you two lovebirds. I love seeing a good marriage. That's good. I tried it a couple times. I might try it again someday. But anyway, thank you so much. And come back to the show. I'm going to ask the audience to come back to the show. And thank you so much for visiting the Energy Stoners Cafe. This is a great place. This is an excellent job because I get to bring to you the most interesting people that I can find on the planet. Have a good day. Bye-bye. Thank you for listening to the Energy Stoners Cafe.